Today is Rosh Chodesh, so we're going to learn a little bit less today, because davening takes a little longer. And fortuitously, today on Rosh Chodesh, we're going to learn about Rosh Chodesh. The first Rosh Chodesh. Chapter 12 of the book of Exodus. Middle of the fourth reading. In the midst of the discussion of Makkos and plagues and Exodus that is about to unfold, suddenly, there's an interruption. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe ve'al Aaron ve'eretz Mitzrayim lemer. God says to Moses and Aaron, in the land of Egypt yet. This is important to know because most of the mitzvahs were given in Sinai. But this mitzvah is given yet in the land of Mitzrayim. This is not going to be alone. There'll be a number of mitzvahs that are given to the Jewish people now. And essentially, the message has been given about Makkos Bechoros. And as the Medrash Seichel Tov says, until we get to Makkos Bechoros, there's work to do. There's Rosh Chodesh, there's a Korban Pesach, there's a Seder. So Moshe Rabbeinu gets instructions. And that's why we kind of interrupt from the last transmission that went to the Pharaoh about the Makkah, the plague of the firstborn, which is the last thing Moshe Rabbeinu says. Pharaoh says, get out of here. I want to see you again. Moshe says, that's fine. Let me just get one more word in. Tells him about the upcoming Makkah. And then we have Hashem talking to Moshe and to Aaron. Now to Moshe and to Aaron, Rashi says, Moshe and Aaron? This is not plagues, this is mitzvahs. So Rashi says, why to Moshe, Moses and Aaron? B'shvil she'aharon osa v'torach b'mefsim k'moshe. Because Aaron worked and toiled and expended all kinds of effort and energy in carrying out all of the plagues just as much as Moshe did, he was honored in this first mitzvah, even though the mitzvahs are brought to us, whose job is to bring us the mitzvahs, Aaron's job is to kindle the lamps and inspire the souls and bring about peace and all kinds of other wonderful things. But Torah, the transmission of God's will and God's desires and God's instructions, that's Moshe Rabbeinu's job. Nonetheless, Aaron was included. Why? Moshe couldn't do this? Some of the Makkos Moshe couldn't do because he himself had been saved by the very things that were being smitten. Like, for example, the Nile River. So Moshe can't strike the Nile River. But when it comes to giving mitzvahs, Moshe Rabbeinu needs help. Why does Aaron have to hear this too? So Rashi says he doesn't. Why is he hearing it? Why is he part of the transmission? So for this we answer, Cholak Lekoved, Aaron is being honored. Then, and this is idea, Shekololoi im Moshe B'dibor, that he was included. He eavesdropped, as explained elsewhere. God spoke to Moshe, but Aaron was able to hear as well. The Eretz Mitzrayim, in the land of Egypt, says Rashi, this is within the scrimmage of the land of Egypt. However, it is chutz lekrach. It is outside of the metropolitan area where people were living. And how do we know this? Maybe it's inside the city. So Rashi says, Talmud Loimar, the verse comes to teach us, Ketesi es ha'ir, Moshe Rabbeinu said, when I leave the city, then I will raise my hands up in prayer. The Pharaoh said, get rid of the Makkah. Moshe said, I will do my best, but not here in the city. I need to leave the city. And why was that? Because the city was filled with idolatry. Umat fila kala. So when we talk about prayer, which is only Moshe Rabbeinu's trying to reach out and connect to the Creator, which is, in a sense, a lightweight relationship. It's a lightweight transmission because it's Moshe Rabbeinu reaching out to God, Moshe Rabbeinu praying to heaven. And that's considered kala, that's considered much less intense than God giving us a mitzvah, the first mitzvah. So tefillah kala le'yispala, but mispalal b'techakrach, he couldn't pray inside the metropolitan area because it was l'fisha hoya meleya gilulim, because it was full of iconography and all kinds of other idolatrous matters, and that would get in the way, it would cloud the transmission. So much more so, dibur, when God speaks to his prophets and conveys, especially to Moshe Rabbeinu, the mitzvahs, chomor is much more profound, much more, so to speak, heavy, euphemistically speaking, like Kolshkein, how much more so? So we have now Moshe v'Aaron, who are going to receive the transmission in Mitzrayim, but outside of the metropolitan area. The Ibn Ezra maintains that the reason we interrupt with the story of Rosh Chodesh and the Korban Pesach is because it was through these mitzvahs that the Jewish people would actually be saved. And because the Exodus, what happened by virtue and dint of the holiness that the Jewish people were able to garner through performing these mitzvahs, that's why it makes perfect sense that the narrative should be interrupted. And instead of focusing on what's going to happen in Mitzrayim with the plagues, instead we talk about the idea of the mitzvahs that was given to the Jewish people here. Pasuk Beis, the second Pasuk. So here it is, my friends. Drum roll, please. The very first mitzvah that we are given in the Torah. And the mitzvah is, HaChedesh HaZeh Lochem Reish Chodeshim. This Chodesh, this month, it was Rosh Chodesh that day, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. This month is for you, Rosh Chodeshim, the head of the months. Rishon Hu Lochem L'Chodesh HaShana. It will be the first of the year's months. First of the year's months. Okay, so let's take a look now in Rashi. And then we'll see what some of the other Mefarshim say. Rashi says, HaChodesh HaZeh. It says the word HaZeh. What's up with that word? HaZeh means like, it's very specific. HaZeh usually means you can point with a finger. Say this, like this one. Zeh, this thing right here. So Rashi says, Her'ohu Levona B'chidusha. God showed Moshe Rabbeinu what the moon would look like just as it's beginning its reappearance. Just when there's a little sliver that appears. So God gave Moshe the specific instructions. Va'omar lo'i, the creator of heaven and earth, who is now, who created time and space, who is now going to be giving the mandate of sanctifying time to the Rebbe of the Jewish people, who will bring it on behalf of God to the entire nation. And so he shows him. Va'omar lo'i, he says to him, Kishahayareach mischadesh. When the moon renews itself. And that means when the sliver reappears. Yi alocha reish chodesh. This will be for you the beginning of the new month. However, Rashi says, Ein mikra yetze midei pshute. This does not depart from its literal, straightforward meaning. Al chodesh nisan amarle. It was with regard to the month of Nisan. He said, you should know, not only this moon, meaning the way this moon looks, the way you see that little sliver of the reappearance of the disk of the moon, oh, that's a Shchedesh, that's Hazeh. But Rashi says it also means literally, HaChedesh Hazeh. Hazeh means this month, the month of Nisan. It will be for you, Rosh, the head. What does it mean, it's be for you, the head? Time is circular. So, truth be told, there is no beginning and there is no end. It's like, it's a continuous spiral. So, yeah, that's true, but you got to start from some point. You have to have an initial point of departure. Where do we start from? Where do we end? Where does the circle begin? Where does the circle end? You can choose anywhere. So God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's this month will be a Rosh, L'Seder Minyan Achadashim. You'll count the months, and of course, until we went into Galut, we didn't even have names for the months. With the exception of possibly the month of Shvat, which is mentioned in the scripture in the book of Zechariah. But generally speaking, the names of the month are not even mentioned. Where did those names come from? Those names come from Bavel. They're Akkadian, most of them. And what we call the months, same thing we call the days. What do we call the days in Hebrew? What's Sunday? We don't have Sunday. Sunday is a pagan name. It's for those who used to worship the sun. And Monday was for those who worship the moon, etc., etc. What do we call it? Hayom Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, the first day, the second day, the third day. The only day of the week that has a name for us is, of course, Shabbat. Shabbos Kodesh, that's all. So it is also with the months. The months didn't have names. None of the months had names. So what did you call Nisan? And the answer is Chedesh Arishon, the first month. Chedesh HaSheni, and so on and so forth. Shehei Kare Sheni, that you will call the second month, which we call Iyar, that would be called second. Sivan, the month that we refer to, was be called Shlishi, and so on and so forth. Now Rashi goes into details, and he talks about this notion of the Chedesh HaZeh. And he says, Moshe Rabbeinu had a hard time grasping this. God took him into this planetarium of sorts. But how did he see the new moon? You can only be Mekadesh, the Chodesh, during the day. And so Rashi tells us that this was just as the sun was setting, but it hadn't yet set. And sometimes towards dusk, when the sun hasn't yet set, the moon already reappears. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu was shown the disk, and that's when God said, this is what I talk about. Rambam actually maintains, he has a different approach. He says this was all miraculous. It was a prophetic vision. Not a literal vision, it was actually a planetarium. Rashbam adds in his commentary that Reish Chodesh means that this is Lochem. Only you will do this. Nobody else will count the months from Nisan, and nobody does. It's the month of renewal, it's the month of spring. Nobody else counts it as the first month, second month. And our telling of time, our lunar system, is entirely Jewish. So, Let us take a deeper look at this business of Rosh Chodesh now. I'm going to invite you to join me in the Biurim book on page Kuf Tzadik Aleph, which is Siman Tezayin. And here, our lesson for the day begins with a quote from Rashi. Not Rashi in Parshas Bo, but rather the very first Rashi, the very first comment on the entire Torah. And the very first Rashi says, and this is a quote, Loi hoya tzarich lahaschil es ha-teira. The Torah should not have began. Elo, only, from right here, Parshas Bo. Me'achodesh hazeh lochem. Why? Why should the Torah begin in the middle of the Parshas Bo? What about all the excitement and drama of Genesis? What about all the important things we learned about in the book and beginning of the book of Exodus? Rashi says the Torah is principally not a history book. The Torah is not about narratives. What's the Torah? The Torah is a book of mitzvahs. It's a book of instructions. God's telling us how to live. So if it's a book of mitzvahs, God's telling us how to live, what should the Torah begin with? Shehi mitzvah reshayna. It should begin with the words Achedesh Elohim, which is the first mitzvah. Shnitztava by Yisrael. But of course, that's not the case. And on a very, very simple, straightforward level, and the level of Pshuto Shel Mikra, what's the reason for it? It's a reason that resonates in our day and age more so than it has in centuries. When nations of the world will say, hey, you occupied the land of Israel, we will say to them, no, we didn't. We can't occupy our land. This was given to us by God. God created the world. In fact, the premise of our faith is this. It begins with Bereshis Bara Elikim. It's God's world. God gave it to whom he desired. And so this forms the basis of our claim to being the indigenous people of Eretz Yisrael. But more about that on a different day. Let's focus on this month, this first mitzvah. So here in the Rebbe's the commentary, he speaks about the notion that the very first mitzvah of the Torah was sanctifying time. The whole Torah, first mitzvah that we get as a nation, sanctifying time. Why? Why is it that this is the first mitzvah? So the Rebbe suggested that's because this mitzvah represents the essence of the entire thrust of Judaism. Everything that Yiddishkeit wants can be found in the first mitzvah. This is the perfect way to begin. It has within it the entire system, if you will. It's the entire strategy, the essence, the theology of Judaism will be contained in that first mitzvah. How so? So the Rebbe says on three counts. There are three modules of Torah and Yiddishkeit which are encapsulated with this lunar mitzvah. Number one, let's talk about the transmission or the giving of the Torah. God's giving the Torah to us, the Jewish people. Mitzvah's kiddush hachodesh, this mitzvah, mavlita es ha'uvda sha'atayra shebechsav nitna yachad im ha'atayra shebalpeh. This mitzvah, more so than virtually any other, emphasizes the notion that the written Torah, the scripture, was given together with the oral Torah, together with the oral traditions. Ukedivrei ha'Ibn Ezra, like the Ibn Ezra says in his commentary, in his preface to his commentary in the Torah, Ein batorah chukei hashana mifurashim. The Torah does not give us the details of time, of how we count the Jewish year, of how we invoke the cycle of happenings. Ve'ein nachshev hachadashim. How we should calculate the months. V'chol eila ha-mitzvahs tzriches la-kabbalah u-meseiris. All these mitzvahs require an oral tradition. If people ever said to you, hey, I don't do this rabbinic stuff. I don't do rabbi stuff. I do the Torah. I'm like, I'm a Bible Jew. I do the Torah. That's good for me. Rabbi stuff. I don't worship rabbis. I worship God. Ibn Ezra comes along with you and he says, Chacham, where and when do we know how to interpret and understand the Torah, if not for the rabbinic tradition, if not for the oral tradition? He says, we're nowhere. The Torah is a closed book. Without the rabbinic tradition, there's nothing. What are tefillin? What is Shabbos? What is kashrus? You don't know what anything is. And the perfect way this is captured is in the sanctification of time. Because what do we get in the Torah? HaChodesh hazeh lochem resh chodashim. What, where, when, how? I don't know. The Torah doesn't tell us. In fact, after these first two verses, first verse that introduces is going to be a big mitzvah coming. First mitzvah. We get verse 2. HaChodesh hazeh lochem resh chodashim. And then immediately, the next pasuk Gimel is, Davdol called Aspas. No, you still speak to the children of Israel, and they should take for them a sheep to prepare for the Exodus, for the very first Seder. So the whole mitzvah is contained in one verse. What does the verse tell us? It's the first month. How is it a first month? How? What do we do to create? Nothing. And this, my friends, is exactly the point. This is the sign. Moshe Rabbeinu had to rely entirely, exclusively on the oral tradition. There is no difference, so to speak, between the two Torahs. A Torah that's written and a Torah that's oral. You can elect to follow the biblical, be a biblical Jew, or you can elect to be a rabbinic Jew. Chas v'shalom. These are inseparable, ultimately one and the same. And there is no mitzvah that expresses this and embodies this theology and concept more so than the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, as the Ibn Ezra says. So this is the most natural mitzvah. This represents the essence of Yiddishkeit because this foundational principle is encapsulated best with the notion of Kiddush HaChodesh. What was the timeline between Matan Torah and Oral Torah? They were virtually synonymous together. Here you see, it's Matan Torah is not given yet. We're 8 weeks away from the giving of the Torah now. 9 weeks away to be exact. God is giving Moshe Rabbeinu the oral tradition, teaching him how to be Mekadosh Tachaydish. Matan Torah, Mount Sinai, doesn't take for another 9 weeks. And there are lots of other mitzvahs. So that's number one. Number two is the power of Torah. The power of mitzvahs. What does this mean? Mitzvahs Kiddush HaChodesh Meichicha Es HaShlita HaMochletes. Mitzvah Kiddush HaChodesh embodies and it really typifies the power and the control that Torah has over the world. The Torah is not the quake in its boots. It's not weak-kneed in front of the world. What does the world have to say? Oh, does the world not think this is nice? We better get rid of this part of the Torah. It's no longer politically correct, no longer acceptable. No, my friends. The Torah legislates to the world rather than becomes influenced by it. And the Rebbe says that this is seen most profoundly in time. We have certain halachas about reaching an age. And the reaching of the age have a difference in the physical bodily reality. So for example, our sages speak about a woman who's 3 years old, a girl who's 3 years old, that if she were to be, God forbid, abused or damaged, so that her virginity returns as long as it happened before the age of three. And it follows the halachic birthday. In other words, the physical reality of a child's body would necessarily be influenced by whenever the halachic birthday is, whenever halachic time is. Because, you know, when it comes to time, we have some years that are 12 months, some years that are 13 months. Sometimes we have certain months that are 29 days or 30 days. It's not, so to speak, a given. It's something that has to be, it's a science that has to be engineered, a Torah science. It's a system. And that Torah system physically affects the material and literal reality of existence. And that is the message. The message is that the Torah does not exist in a certain sense under the influence of, and is not trapped under the aegis of the material world and its natural laws, but rather the Torah is transcendent of it, and to the point that the Torah actually affects it. And we see this with time. Time physically affects the physical phenomenon, and that is how the Torah calendar, the Jewish calendar, works. Number three, what is the ultimate mission, goal, and purpose? The tachlis of Torah mitzvahs. What do we seek with our Yiddishkeit engagement? Some might argue we seek a slice of heaven. God put us on an obstacle course. He made life really challenging and difficult. And the main thing is you should be able to get through the obstacles. And if you can come out at the end and you're still standing, you're the winner. You go to heaven. Well, many faith systems adopt this idea. Some Jews think that that's what Torah is about, but it's actually wrong. It's not correct. The tachlis of Torah and mitzvahs is to modify, elevate, rarefy, transform, in essence, to change the physical world. Our job, our mission, our mandate is to take the physical, mundane, ordinary reality and to infuse it with holiness, to modify the world, to make the world a holy place, to bring kedusha, to bring holiness to a world that otherwise rejects it or seems to reject it. This is the mahus of mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. we can change a day. We can physically, literally transform a frame of time. That it does not a Yom Chol, it's not an ordinary day. Today is Rosh Chodesh. It's a holy day. We can daven differently. We can accomplish different things because now this frame of time, this period of time has been sanctified. This is a Yom Sheyeshbo Kedusha. This is a day of holiness. Now time stands still for no one. Time moves. Whether you tend to look at it or observe time or watch it go or you just wonder what happened, the time keeps moving. And yet, we can still sanctify time. Time which we seem to be under the sway of, which we seem to be under the influence of. We seem to have no control of time, and yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you, my children, have a job to do. You have to sanctify time. It's not just about Rosh Chodesh. The truth is that when it comes to the festivals of the Jewish people, how and when are they celebrated? They're celebrated on the days of the month. And so when you make Rosh Chodesh, will have all the difference as to when you celebrate Pesach, which ultimately influences when you celebrate Shavuot. It's a difference of when you celebrate Sukkot or Rosh Hashanah. Everything depends on that first day, on how you establish the principle of the new moon or the month beginning. And so, the essence of Yiddishkeit is then encapsulated and embodied within this first mitzvah. And that, the Rebbe suggests, is why God chose this first mitzvah to give us our marching orders. Again, to repeat, the essence of how Torah is given, written Torah, together with oral Torah, best embodied with the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. Number two, the power of Torah to influence the world. Number three, the essence of Torah, the purpose, the goal, the mission to transform the physical, the material, the mundane and the pedestrian into that which is sanctified, rarefied, hallowed and holy. So these are our marching orders. This has been the mission of our nation ever since we got that first mitzvah of Achedish Hazalachem, and hopefully we will continue to carry it out until such time as we see time transform forever with the coming of Mashiach. B'mheira will be Amenu Amen. Agud Chedish.